TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
It is Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Danny Cunningham, our Wolves reporter, Manny Hill, other side of the glass. You want to get in on the fun, 651-646-8255, or tweet us at ScoreNorth. And today's show will largely focus on Karl-Anthony Towns, because what else is fun to talk about surrounding this Minnesota Timberwolves team?
Tanking.
Tanking is fun.
Tanking. Matthew and I did a segment on that earlier this week.
I find tank talk fun.
We just went on tankathon.com and simulated the draft lottery for a whole segment.
Just kept clicking simulate?
Yes. And at the time, the Wolves were tied for 10th, so it was a little more fun, but they're in 13th right now in the tanking standings, so it's not as much fun because they very rarely move.
So what I guess folks could just go listen to it, Score North Wolves, wherever you download podcasts is what you search, or just download the Score North app, and it's easy to find there as well.
But correct.
What were some of the results from your simulation?
We got the Wolves up into the top four a couple of times. Once, I think they got the number one draft pick, which is a big deal. I mean, that's Zion Williamson. But it doesn't look likely with that win the other night really pushed them down in the tanking standings.
Mm. I love bad wins and good losses.
Oh, there's nothing like it. So not to get too far off track here, but
yes. You wouldn't want to do that, would
never.
You?
Never.
No.
Did you watch your Bulls last night?
A little bit.
Against the Sixers?
A little bit. I almost came in with that headband Jimmy Butler was wearing.
I love the ninja headband.
I hate it.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I need more ninja headbands.
Yeah.
It just all across the league.
If you're going to do it.
I'll the regular headband. I think everyone wear the ninja
should we
one.
Should we tell Rami the texting conversation we had the other night?
Yeah. Oh, I want Corey Brewer wearing one.
Yes.
I think that's the next step in Corey Brewer just becoming crazier and crazier. He needs the ninja headband to go with the glasses.
I think if you're going to do it, you should just go full Karate Kid and either wear the same one that the Karate Kid wore or the ones that the dudes from the bad Karate dudes in Karate Kid, the Cobra something? I don't know. You never saw Karate Kid?
You're talking to
the
wrong
one here who's seen Karate Kid?
I've seen it, but I can't remember what the name of their
somebody will
their
tweet it.
Was.
At Robbie is tweeting for me and help me out here. But
I told Danny that if you put a ninja headband on Corey Brewer, instantly what comes to my mind is a Wu-Tang video. Right away. Like, and we talked about earlier in the week, we talked about like De'Aaron Fox wearing one, and who else do we think? Wesley Matthews wears one.
Jared Allen wears one.
Jared Allen. Yeah.
Corey and Brewer ain't nothing to mess with.
All of those
That's
guys.
Why he needs a ninja headband.
All of those guys, Rami. Yeah, they wear a ninja headband. It's cool. You see Corey Brewer wearing a ninja headband, Wu-Tang video.
Okay, so
first thing that comes to my mind.
Outside of ninja headbands, there isn't a lot entertaining about this Minnesota Timberwolves team at this point.
They need a ninja headband.
Outside of Karl-Anthony Towns, who has just been on fire lately. So I wanted to dedicate a good part of this show, when we're not getting sidetracked, to Karl-Anthony Towns and a few questions that I had about him. But first, some numbers. Some guy named Danny Cunningham put these numbers up at scorenorth.com. He's actually pretty good at his job. You should check out his thoughts on the Wolves.
Thank you.
After the 41-point, 14-rebound game against the Thunder, that's the most points in a 5-game stretch in Timberwolves history. The previous record was held by Kevin Love, 175 points over 5 games in 2014. Towns had 182 and had averages of over 36 points and 16 rebounds in that stretch to show just how good he can be, as Danny put it. John Krasinski of The Athletic
did much better work than me, clearly.
Went a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Dove a little bit deeper than you did when it comes to the numbers. Since Butler and Thibodeau were jettisoned out of town, Karl-Anthony Towns, in 22 games, on 18 shots per game, is averaging almost 28 points, 56.7% shooting, 43.1% from behind the three-point line, 12.4 rebounds, and 3.8 assists. And then in the last 5 games, you got into this a little bit, 36.4 points, 60.4% shooting, 47.1% of his 6.8 threes per game. I mean, the guy is throwing up
Anthony Davis-like numbers.
Throwing up MVP type of numbers.
Yes.
Now, he hasn't put together an MVP type of season because that's only 22 games since Butler and Thibodeau were sent packing. But those numbers right there are MVP-like numbers. And the gist of Krasinski's article, and he's not the first one I've heard say this, and I'm sure others will continue to say it, was that Karl-Anthony Towns is, quote-unquote, making the leap. Are you, Danny, and you, Manny, sold that Karl-Anthony Towns is making the leap?
Yeah, I am. I think it's very difficult to say otherwise at this point. I think that what we've seen from Kat throughout this past 22-game stretch or however long it's been, or if you just want to even go on the last five-game stretch, and historically, he's had very good February and Marches in his career. Those have been the two best months in his career. But I think that we're seeing him play now at a level we didn't know he could ever get to. And I think that that, in turn, raises the ceiling because now the question becomes, okay, we know he can do this, but what else can he do? Because he's still only 23 years old. He's still on that rookie contract. Like, we know what he's making next year, and it's likely to be that $190 million over the next five because I really think he's going to be all NBA after this season. He absolutely should be. And just about every time he steps out on the floor, it looks more and more likely he's going to be voted to that third team all NBA spot at center. But in turn, with him becoming this good and seeing what he can do on a nightly basis, now it becomes, okay, well, what can he do in 2 years? How much higher does his ceiling get? And that's the question that fascinates me, is just how good can he become? Because now we've already seen him become great. We're witnessing him be great on a nightly basis for the Wolves right now, but how much greater can he become?
And the other part of that too is we've seen him this year improve on the defensive end, because that was the biggest thing, that was his biggest knock last year, was he was putting up the offensive numbers, and he had been doing that and putting up numbers that made people turn heads, but the defensive side was where he was really lacking, and he's made big time strides this season.
Yeah, you are 100% accurate on that. He's never going to be Rudy Gobert defensively.
Right.
Rudy Gobert is the best defensive center in the league. He can absolutely change the game with what he does on the defense end of the floor. And Carl's never going to be that, but he's become probably, I would say, slightly above average defensively for a center right now. And that's a big deal because he was not a good defensive center.
He was bad
all of last year, for a good portion of this year, but he's really stepped his game up on that end of the floor. And that's a big deal for him, because for him to really get to that next level, he needs to be good defensively. And he's shown recently that he can be.
It was Cobra Kai. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Did you hear anything we just said?
I did. Yeah, you guys were talking about his defense has gotten better, numbers.
You were like Googling. Towns, blah, blah, blah. Were you like on the Karate Kid Wikipedia page or something, looking that up?
At Badgers89 _ tweeted at me, Cobra Kai. It's Cobra Kai.
Thank you, at Badgers89 _.
That was the bad karate gym in the Karate Kid. Manny, have you seen Karate Kid?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, good. Have you?
All right.
I've seen all three of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Manny has seen everything from all of the Super Bowls to everyone's a football
I was there for Super Bowl I.
He has watched
1967.
Manny can give you NBA Finals game ever.
Manny can give you intimate details from when Danielson won the karate tournament in Karate Kid Part 1. He knows exactly he knows exactly who he went through in each round.
Pose, man.
There it is.
It's a great movie.
It really is. It's a really, really good movie.
I'm convinced there's nothing Manny doesn't know.
Manny, did you watch? Oh, man, now we're sidetracked again, but that's okay. Did you watch the Karate Kid series that was on YouTube Red?
I didn't.
They were like all grown up. That. Danielson and...
Wait, what's YouTube Red? I thought it was YouTube TV.
It was YouTube Red. Now it's YouTube TV. And I have YouTube TV. I don't know if Cobra Kai is available on there.
So wait, they made a Karate Kid
They're all grown
series?
Up. Yeah, they're all grown up.
Ralph Macchio grown up.
Yep, Ralph Macchio and the blonde dude from Cobra Kai. And they have their own dojos. Competing dojos. I think, if I'm not mistaken, like, Daniel is the bad guy.
When did they do this? Because...
The other Daniel. Oh.
When did they make this?
I think like a year ago.
A year ago. Okay.
I think it's called Cobra Kai. Huh. Do a quick search if you have time. I'm not, back to the subject at hand, as sold as you guys are that Karl-Anthony Towns has taken the leap, has taken the next big step. The numbers look great, and the attitude is even better. And I know I keep on harping on this, and I don't do it because I dislike Karl-Anthony Towns. I really like Karl-Anthony Towns.
Hater.
Dude is a beast, and he could be a top three player in this league. And he's
I don't know about that.
And I think he could. I really think he could. I think in the top five, at least.
I think his ceiling is somewhere between 5 and 10.
Okay. And that's all subjective when you start getting into that range. But I think he could be a top five player in this league. And he's a good dude and very easy to root for. I want Karl Anthony Towns to succeed and thereby the Minnesota Timberwolves to succeed. But the one thing that I think holds Karl Anthony Towns back is obviously not talent. He's got a world of that, and the ceiling is seemingly limitless with this guy. It's the attitude and the aggressiveness, and he talks in that piece from Krasinski at theathletic.com about how he's trying to be more aggressive and more assertive in the game. But I want to see Karl Anthony Towns stand up to the bully. I want to see Karl Anthony Towns face a challenge from an individual and actually overcome that individual. And there's two of them who will be coming to town on March 30th, and Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid, two guys who seem to take great joy in punking Karl Anthony Towns, and he has taken it just about every time that they've attempted to and handed over his lunch money. I want to see if he's over that. That's when I'll know that Karl Anthony Towns and his aggressive, assertive side have really come out. He hasn't done these things against the guys who notoriously bully and punk him. And I'm not the one who's coming up with the terminology bully. His college coach, John Calipari, said that Jimmy Butler bullied him, and Derrick Rose confirmed that to John Calipari, that Jimmy Butler bullied him. When you're a 7-foot beast with a world of talent who is the centerpiece and the cornerstone of a franchise in the NBA, nobody should be able to bully you. And I'm waiting for Karl Anthony Towns to realize that.
That's fine that you can think that you want to see him overcome those things, but I think that it's also kind of silly to say that he hasn't taken a leap because he hasn't done that.
I don't think he'll...
I don't think he'll be that dude until he can do that. Here's another thing that I can say Giannis hasn't taken a leap because he's never won a playoff series.
Fair, and I'd say that's
it's untrue, though. You can say that because Giannis is absolutely... He has taken several leaps throughout his career.
He's an MVP candidate this
year. He might win the MVP. You can say he hasn't taken a leap because he hasn't won a playoff series. You can say James Harden hasn't taken a leap because he hasn't won the conference. He hasn't been to the final. He hasn't won a finals. He went to the finals with OKC, but not as the guy, I guess. But you can say that, and you can craft an argument like that about anybody. But to say that he hasn't stood up to Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler is the reason why he hasn't taken a leap,
I think
is a little bit, it's not right.
Those guys are just examples. Because people around the league...
Sure, but look, okay, so the best defensive center in the NBA is Rudy Gobert. That's a challenge for every big
Absolutely.
Man. Absolutely. Carl is better against Rudy Gobert than he is the average player.
Okay.
Carl's number against the best defensive guy in the league at his position are better than everyone else's.
Guys around the league will see that. We'll see that you can take Karl Anthony Towns' lunch money, and they're going to try and do the same thing.
Then why has no one done it the last 22
Because he hasn't faced the guys who want to do that to him.
Rudy Gobert wants to do it to him.
And Rudy Gobert cried because he didn't make the All-Star game. He wanted to do that to Carl,
and what did Carl do?
I'm talking about the guys who are going to try and punk you. There are guys around this league.
Russell Westbrook tried the other night. Carl was the best player on the floor.
That was a good sign. Russell Westbrook was going at Karl Anthony Towns, not just in a basketball manner, but going at him and challenging him as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And Karl Anthony Towns stepped up to that challenge. That's great. But the two guys who have consistently been able to take Karl Anthony Towns' lunch money and brag about it on social media have been Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid.
I
want to see him overcome that. I want to see him punch the bully in the nose. Do we not all want to see that?
Here's what I want to see. I want to see Karl Anthony Towns. It's not going to happen this year, and I'm okay with it not happening this year. I want to see Karl Anthony Towns get back to the playoffs and have an opportunity to sort of redeem himself from that bad playoff series he had against the Rockets last year, because people were giving him a lot of crap for that. And I want to see him get back to the playoffs and have the kind of performances that we've been seeing over the last 22 games on a big stage in the postseason, because I'm with Danny, I think he has taken that leap. The problem is, what is the league-wide perception about Karl Anthony Towns, and do people around the league believe that he has taken that leap? I've looked at him in the last 22 games, and I think he has, but has the league around the league, have they started to realize that, and are they starting to feel that, or is that perception still that he hasn't done that? And the other thing is, and Danny, we talked about this on Raised by Wolves a couple of weeks ago with Dane, The association with Andrew Wiggins is still there. And people are still sort of associating Andrew Wiggins being not good and making a lot of money on a max contract. And people are still trying to sort of associate Andrew Wiggins with Karl-Anthony Towns and lump them into the same conversation. And I want to see that sort of thing go away as well, because whether it's right or wrong, I mean, there's always that perception around the league that people have about players, and a lot of times it's not fair. So I just, for Kat, I think he has taken that leap. I just want to see some of those narratives and perceptions about him, those negative perceptions about him, go away.
So you guys, you don't see March 30th when the Sixers come to town as any sort of measuring stick or prove-it moment for Karl-Anthony Towns.
It's a big game, but to say he hasn't taken a leap because that hasn't happened is ridiculous.
I won't say that he hasn't taken the leap.
That's what you just said.
Okay, I'll rephrase it.
I'll rephrase it.
He may have taken the leap. I won't be convinced of it until I see him overcome that hurdle. And is that fair?
It's more fair than what you said.
He may have done it, but I'm not convinced of it yet.
It's more fair.
So, Rami, what would be an example of him sort of standing up to the bullies that are Jimmy Butler?
First of all,
Joel Embiid.
We can't see, from just a basketball standpoint, we can't see a replay of what happened the first time these two teams met when we were doing a watch-along party and we left at halftime because the 76ers scored 81 points in the first half, okay? That's just from a basketball standpoint. But the second thing is...
Hang on, the three of us were really entertaining that night. That's all I'm going to say.
You're right about that.
We were awesome.
You're right about that. People were tweeting us after we left saying, please don't leave.
Come back.
You're so much better than this game. So we appreciate that.
I could not disagree with them.
I couldn't either.
That was
81 points
game,
at halftime. The Sixers had 81 points at halftime.
We had more than 81 viewers.
So from a basketball standpoint, they need to show up and do better than that. And then from again, showing that aggressiveness that you hear Karl-Anthony Towns talk about when Joel Embiid or Jimmy Butler talk trash to you or get in your face, you need to go right back at them. And I'm not going to go as far as Jed Zolgad, who said that Jimmy Butler needs to leave on a stretcher or something like that.
Wait, when did he say that?
He said something along those lines. Well, somebody needs to punch him or lay him out.
When Jimmy first got traded to the Sixers, Judd said that he hoped Joel Embiid would punch Jimmy Butler in the face.
Yes, would knock him out. I'm not going to go that far.
There's still time.
But I would honestly like to see Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler have to be separated the next time these two teams play. That I would like to see.
So if they have to be separated, then he's taking the lead.
Again, you can chuckle at it all you want. Attitude matters, man. The switch didn't flip for Giannis until he started mean mugging.
That mean mug is the most overrated thing ever. It's so annoying.
Things changed. I'm telling you, I thought it was goofy at first too. Things changed.
It's so fake.
When Giannis started mean mugging. It may be fake.
No, things changed when he had played basketball for more than 7 years in his life.
But that was because...
That's not because he started making a face after he dunked.
That
it's
was
because
a sign.
He started having experience with basketball.
It was a sign that he found his mean streak. That he wasn't...
It's overrated.
Okay. I don't think it is. I think there's definitely something to that, and I won't be convinced that Karl-Anthony Towns has taken the leap until I see that mean streak, and I see that nasty side to him, and I see that dude who won't be bullied because he's a 7-foot beast with a world of talent.
But that goes back, I think, to what I was saying about, you know, the playoffs thing and the perception about Kat around the league, because if you go back to Johnny K's piece, he was talking about how in the Oklahoma City game the other night, Carl was, I guess, had some choice words for like Russell Westbrook. Like there was just some trash talking going around. And Russ's response was, get to the bleeping playoffs before you speak to me. And that's why I just want to see Karl-Anthony Towns get to the playoffs and perform very well so that if he is trash talking Russell Westbrook can't say that to him anymore.
Carl has been to the playoffs and is 6-1 against Russell Westbrook in the last 2 years. Like, that's the argument. Russ
so what
is not
Russ
the guy to make
about?
That argument. And neither of those teams won their series last year.
Russ should have fact-checked before he started talking, what you're saying.
Yes, the Thunder have been, for one reason or another, and I don't have a reason that I can pin this on, have been owned by the Wolves over the past two seasons. Whether it's because
and that's Andrew with Steven Wiggins, Adams, who's a pretty good center,
yes,
defending Karl Anthony
whether
Towns.
Whether it's because Andrew Wiggins banked in a shot from 37 feet last year to win a game, or because Carl went for 41-14 the other night. They have owned the Thunder for some reason, and I don't have a very reasonable explanation as to why.
Signs point to him making the leap to me, but I'm not convinced. I won't be convinced until I see him stand up to the bully and punch him right in the nose. That's not literally like Judd is asking for, but I want to see him punch the bully in the nose.
Judd's not asking Carl to punch him in the nose.
No,
Judd's
asking Joel
Embiid to punch him in the nose.
No, I think, didn't he want Karl Anthony Towns to, I think he wanted Karl Anthony Towns to punch Jimmy Butler. We'll clarify.
See, if he punches Jimmy Butler, like, that's a step back, because now he's suspended.
Like during the infamous practice.
Get suspended, who cares? Yeah.
I do, then you're not taking the leap, you're subtracting from the leap.
Okay, if he is taking the leap, and if he does take the leap, how do the Wolves take the leap with him? That's what we'll discuss next. It's the Karl Anthony Towns Show, raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com.
Because the Vikings are on your mind
all the time,
not just during the season. Purple Daily.
I don't feel like the Rams are that far from the Vikings. Like, I don't feel like the gap on paper is so significant to where you go, oh my goodness, the Vikings could never be that. Why not? Like, aren't the Vikings supposed to be that? Like, if you go back a year ago with the investment in Kirk Cousins, with all the pieces coming back, Thielen and Diggs, with all of the defensive pieces, aren't they supposed to be the Rams? What am I missing?
Purple Daily on Score North. Score North. Guitar Hero. Selfie Sticks. Fidget Spinners. The Ice Bucket Challenge. Nah, this is something new. Welcome to the all-new Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. Score North.
It's raised by Wolves. Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with our Wolves reporter, Danny Cunningham. Find his work at scorenorth.com. Manny Hill on the other side of the glass. This is just a part of our Wolves programming lineup. Find all our Wolves shows by searching Score North Wolves wherever you download podcasts, or just download the Score North app. Give us a 5-star rating, and the more you listen on the Score North app, the better chance you have of winning cool stuff like TVs. So show us some love, and we'll try and show you some love. We've been focusing this show on Karl Anthony Towns today, because last night when he fouled out of the game, I realized there's I tweeted out, can I stop watching this now? Am I negligent in my duties as a Score North host if I stop watching this game now? Because they're hard to watch when Karl Anthony Towns is not on the floor. So why not make him the focus of the discussion on this Wolves show? And we talked in the first segment about him making the leap as into the upper echelon of NBA players. If he is going to make that leap, it's just as important, if not more important, that the Wolves also make a leap and not waste this generational talent and end up in a Anthony Davis situation in 2 or 3 years from now when there's a couple of years left on his contract. So how do the Wolves take the leap? And you can get in on the conversation at 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North. And Danny, something I know you've been following along closely. Number one step in the Wolves taking the leap and putting this team around Karl Anthony Towns that we're talking about is tanking, and we've been following the tanking closely through our good friends over at tankathon.com, which you've made me aware of.
I just simmed the lottery and they finished 13th, so that didn't go well.
Ooh. Mm. How many simulations have you done now?
Oh, tons. I spend a lot. I spend more hours on this website than I'm willing to admit.
Right now they have... I've said that about websites, but they were not Tankathon. I'll just say that.
I think the websites that you say that about, you can't access on your work computer.
Nor would I try. I want to stay employed here. Nor would I try.
But they've got a very tough road to try and maximize this team around.
Right now they have a 1.2% chance of getting the number one overall pick.
Yeah, not great odds. No. They need to lose some games. They need the Lakers to win some games. They need the Magic and the Hornets to win some games. But hey, it's possible.
Like, how high up can they realistically climb in terms ninth. Of the percentages? Ninth, you're thinking?
They can get to ninth and have a 20.3% chance at a top four, which would be a huge win. The Pelicans currently they are one game worse than the Wolves right now. So they can get up to ninth. The best part about that for the Wolves is that Charlotte and Orlando are both in between New Orleans and Minnesota. But those two teams are both competing for a playoff spot at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. So they're actively trying to win games, at least for the time being. They want to win games. They want to make the playoffs.
Those two teams could still win their division.
Yes, those two teams could still win their division, along with Miami, who I believe is currently the division leader in the Southeast Division, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
They're 30-34. They have the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference playoff standings right now. Wow. But yes, Charlotte and Orlando could still win their division or get the number one pick, and it's March 7th. The possibilities are endless.
That's insanity. That doesn't even make sense.
No, it is why divisions in the NBA are incredibly dumb and mean nothing.
That is the Southeast Division.
Yes, it is bad. But the Wolves can get to ninth.
I think they could get as high as seven or eight.
I don't see them getting that high.
I mean, they only need to, and we're talking about this in terms of losing ground, but we're
see, I don't know gaining. How to talk about it. I don't know whether or not their ceiling is seven or the floor.
No, the ceiling is seven, and I'm going to talk about
I think it's nine.
I'm going to talk about this the same way that we would talk about a playoff race and say that they're 2.5 games behind Washington and Dallas when it comes to climbing up to the seventh or eighth spot in the draft lottery probabilities. And if they could get to 7 or 8, now their chances for a top four pick are around 29%.
Yes. I think that 9 is the most realistic.
How do we
ceiling.
Do this? How do we really tank this thing? Like, we don't want to shut
you lose.
We don't want to shut Carl Anthony Towns for the season, do we?
No.
I didn't throw that out there when he had the car accident.
You don't want to do that.
Okay.
But the best part is that the Wolves have the sixth most difficult schedule the remaining of the season. Toronto still. They have to play Denver twice. They have to play Golden State twice. Obviously, Philadelphia comes to town. They have another game against OKC. They've got some tough games. That's where it helps them, because they can play well and be competitive and still realistically lose a bunch of these games just because they're not as good as the team that they're playing.
Right.
Like, they could lose a bunch of games not on purpose because that the teams that they're playing are better and playing for more and are trying to solidify themselves in the Western Conference playoff picture or the Eastern Conference playoff picture in the case of Toronto. But that's how they could get up there. They could do that because their schedule's just so tough. If you look at New Orleans, who is in that ninth spot right now, their schedule's not very tough the rest of the way. They have two games with Phoenix, two games with Atlanta, Dallas, the Hornets. Like, they've got some games they have more winnable games than the Wolves do. And that matters.
I was hitting the sim lottery button the whole time you were talking.
And you didn't win,
while listening to you. Every time they've come up 13.
Yeah, it's
every time.
They're fourth.
Oh, Manny with the winning lottery.
That was after about 8 sims, though. But
yeah, I'm on my fifth sim, and every time it's been 13.
It's way more fun when they're in. They were tied for 10th the other day when I was in here with Matthew doing this. And it was way more fun because it was more likely.
It just keeps coming up 13.
At that time, they had a 10.3% chance, so it was way more fun. But if they can climb to 9, it becomes a blast. And then waiting for mid-May when the draft lottery happens, it's going to be so much fun for us. We're going to be talking about this all the time.
We should have a watch along.
We could do that.
And stay for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Stay for the whole thing this time.
I mean, I think it's during the watch along of the draft lottery is during halftime of an Eastern Conference Finals game.
Yeah.
Typically, or actually it'll be Western.
Semifinals?
It'll be Western Conference Finals.
Western Conference Finals.
ESPN has the rights. It's halftime of an ESPN Conference Finals game. So it'll be in towards the end of May.
Am I doing something wrong? They come up 13 every time.
No, they're literally doing something every wrong. Time. They're winning too much.
Every time I click on Sim Lottery, it comes up 13.
I got them sitting at fourth right now, and I'm not hitting Sim 1.
Oh, again. I just got third.
Take a screen grab of that. Seriously, every time it comes up 13. All right. So
it was I refreshed the page after going to the standings.
Okay.
I went back to the draft lottery, Sim Lottery, third place.
I've grown bored with this ending up at 13.
What's up, RJ Barrett?
Let's talk about what they can do besides tank and get a good draft pick. Who on this team can be part of this roster if they're going to make the leap along with Carl Anthony Towns?
Okay, obviously Carl.
Right.
I think Tyus Jones could be a piece. I don't know what role that is. Maybe it's a backup point guard. Maybe it is a starting point guard. But I think he could be a piece at the right price, and that matters. Josh Okogie definitely is a part of the future of this franchise.
Agreed.
I think Okogie, his ceiling is a starter on a playoff team. I don't know if it's a starter on a championship-level team, but it's a starter on a playoff team. He could be here and make the leap.
Agreed.
After that, it becomes really cloudy. I know that they like Kata Bates-Diop as a as a second-round rookie who's given them something over the past six games. He's actually played relatively well. Not great, but he and they like what they've seen, and they viewed this as a developmental year, and they think that he could be part of the team. I don't know if that's a rotation spot or what that is, but they think he has a future in Minneapolis.
When I proposed the Carl Anthony Towns show today, Manny, Danny wanted to do a Diop show.
Bates Diop. Kata Bates Diop.
Kata Bates Diop. You want to focus the whole show on Kata Bates Diop. I said, I wrote
about him for today. I really like the way that he's been cutting to the basket. Like, he's not shot the ball well from the outside in the limited playing time he's had, filling in for Luol Deng, essentially. But he's really been good at getting to the rim.
Okay, like, so we got Okogie and Bates Diop. Who else on this roster?
Tyus Jones,
I'm sorry.
Robert Covington, which we forget about because obviously he hasn't played since 2018, but he's a big piece of this team. He's definitely a definite starter on a championship team, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Dario Šarić. I think we're still learning about Dario. I think that the future is brighter for him, and I think that if he can be the starter all the way through the season next year, it'll be much better for him than him kind of having his going through so much up and down in terms of he's coming off the bench, then he's starting, and Tibbs is here, then Tibbs isn't, and just the things that have changed throughout his role. If that settles down next year, I think we see a better version of Dario.
So those five guys plus Carl Anthony Towns, obviously. Is that it?
Could potentially be it.
Is that it? You don't want any of the Timberwolves sticking around?
No, they're too old.
Okay.
I don't think Derrick Rose...
Well, you need some veteran presence. And guys, are, I mean, you have to fill those roster spots.
Okay, I'm hoping to bring in Taj back.
You can bring
Taj
back, but it's got to be at the... You can't pay him more than, what, $4 million?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't afford what he's going to command. I really don't have an interest in bringing Derrick Rose back next year. I really don't. Luol Deng's in his 15th season. You don't know how much more he's got left to give. And he's been awesome when he's on the floor for them. But you just don't know what he's got left in the tank. He's been around forever. And he's been awesome on the floor, in the locker room, on the bench, talking to guys. He's been everything you could want in a veteran. But I don't know what his future is.
I think
that's a big question.
I think if you're going to have veterans on this team, it needs to be guys that can really contribute and guys that you know can contribute. And to Danny's point, Luol has been, he has way like exceeded my expectations going into this year.
Sure. Yeah, he's blown you away. You were not happy. He's blown you away.
Yeah. I mean, and that was just because last year when they signed him, I thought he's got nothing.
Tibbs guy.
It's another Timberwolves thing. And that was the basis of the frustration. But
and the funniest part is that yes, it was, and Tibbs wouldn't play.
And then Tibbs wouldn't play.
And Tibbs gets fired. And he's great.
And now Deng is getting playing time.
Yeah.
That's the funniest part.
He's been good. But I mean, to that point though, like, you just don't know if he's has another year of like what they've gotten from him in the last, you know, 2 months has been gold.
Yeah, it's exceeded my expectations.
Yeah. And you just can't bank on that repeating itself going into next year.
I think it's exceeded everybody's. I think it's exceeded Luol Deng's expectations.
I don't know about
what he could do.
I think that he still believed that given the chance he could do this.
Right.
I think because he got kind of a, especially I mean, I don't want to say raw deal in LA because he got paid a lot of money.
Yeah,
but
that's a deal I'd take.
Yeah, but they wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
And they signed him to that big contract and he was just basically not even really a part of the team.
Yeah.
And I think he went into this year with feeling like he had something to prove on the court.
All right, so all those guys that you just named are not superstars. Good players, guys who can be part of a championship team, but not superstars. This is a league we're talking about in the NBA where you have to have at least two, if not three, or if you're the Golden State Warriors, four superstars.
Five.
I think we all agree that Andrew Wiggins is probably never going to live up to that. So now, how do we get the Robin to Karl Anthony Towns Batman? And I guess part of that equation is how do you get rid of Andrew Wiggins in this contract?
I think right now you would have to give up an asset to move him. I think that you would have to give up a first round pick. Now there could be protections on it. I think you could probably lottery protect that first round pick, but you would have to attach something with him to get him out of town just because he's not worth the money. It's a sizable contract. There's still 4 years remaining on it after this season.
Oof.
So there's a big commitment for another team to take on. And you look around the league, who wants that? Who would take that on? Because you look at the teams that are building for the future, and that's great because those types of teams will normally take on bad money in exchange for a draft pick with it, but their rebuilding timelines don't line up with when Andrew Wiggins is going to be gone.
2 years ago, you probably could have said a team like Sacramento, but not now.
No, not now. They're good now.
Yeah.
They're absolutely good
now. They're trying to get to the playoffs, like they got something cooking.
You can't
over there.
Send him to Atlanta because Atlanta's going to want to have cap space when Trae Young gets good and Kevin Huerter and John Collins and whoever they get this year with their pick and maybe Dallas's pick in the top 10. Like, they could have two top 10 draft picks. Atlanta could be building a super team. They're not going to trade for Andrew Wiggins because his money is so far committed into the future.
The Cleveland Cavaliers
are not doing it either because they've got Kevin Love on the books and they've got Colin Sexton, who's been much better over the last 2 months or so. They've got a couple young guys, but they're going to have, hopefully, in their opinion, what they want is to have these young guys and Kevin Love. And I mean, they want to win the lottery this year and Zion Williamson, which it's the Cavs, so they probably will. And then cap space in 2020. That's what they want. No one's taking on this Andrew Wiggins deal and compromising their future for these teams right now. It's hard to find a landing spot.
And the problem that the Wolves have right now, too, is just because you dump Andrew Wiggins' salary onto somebody else, it doesn't really open up any cap space for you because you got Cat's new deal kicking in next year. You still got Teague that's probably going to be on the books for next year because you're probably going to pick up that option. You still got Gorgie Jang making a lot of money. Like you're not gaining any cap space. It's not as simple as, Wiggins is making $27 million next year, so you just get rid of his contract and you got $27 million. No, that's not how it works. And if you're going to attach an asset to send that $27 million off of your books, you're not going to be able to have to get something back. That's going to help you.
So are you
because
guys
you're not
going
to be able to dip into free agency and use that $27 million in cap space. And a first-round draft pick is your best bet in trying to add talent that can help you in the future.
You guys aren't painting a pretty picture for me because from what you guys are saying, it sounds like it's damn near impossible to put the team around Karl Anthony Towns that you need to put around him, starting with,
I don't think it's
like
impossible.
I said, finding the Robin to his Batman.
I don't think it's impossible. You just, whoever the next GM is going to have to be really, really, really savvy and really, really good and make deals that on the surface may not look good, but end up working out for them down the line. That's what it's going to take because that's the situation that they're in. It's not impossible, but it's going to be really, really, really difficult.
We're not painting a pretty picture for you because it's not a pretty scene.
Right.
We can't make a pretty picture out of it.
I'm just summarizing what you guys are saying.
It's the truth.
I know. I'm aware. I understand. I'm summarizing what you guys said, and it's going to be very, very difficult to put the team around Karl Anthony Towns that we're talking about. Like I said, starting with that, at the very least, second superstar that you need, if not third.
Would you guys agree, I told this to Judd the other day, with the Wiggins contract, that maybe their best play is to try and endure this thing for two more years and to see if it'll be a little bit easier to unload the contract then?
I don't know if you have a choice.
Because you can't, I mean, the tough thing is...
It will be easier then because then there will be a new batch of teams that are rebuilding and willing to take on money and get a draft pick with it.
And you just may have to just bite the bullet and just try and endure this thing for another 2 years and reevaluate and see if you can unload it 2 years from now. And, maybe in the 2 years you hope Andrew progresses. I'm not betting any money on that, but you just have to kind of hope for that because you can't, with where they're at right now and you're trying to build something around Karl Anthony Towns, you can't give up. You can't sacrifice assets that you need to build around Karl Anthony Towns just to get rid of Andrew Wiggins' contract. Because if you get rid of one of those first-round picks and that pick turns into something and you're still sitting
with
Karl Anthony Towns,
That's why it has to be protected. It's not like they're giving away an unprotected first-round pick.
Right.
You cannot do that.
That would be front office malpractice.
I want to get into some other some NBA news and notes.
Which we've never seen here.
No, never. I want to get into some NBA news and notes in the last segment. So just to wrap up the Karl Anthony Towns conversation, How worried are you guys that in 2 or 3 years we're going to have an Anthony Davis situation on our hands because of everything that we just laid out in terms of how hard it's going to be to put the right kind of roster around him?
It has to be stated before having this conversation that Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns are obviously two very different people with very different motivation, very different things that motivate them. and agendas and things that they want for their career. And you can't say, well, because Anthony Davis wanted this, Carl Anthony Towns did too. But it's also irresponsible to say that it can't happen because right. it's a very real possibility. Can't be naive. It's too far in the future to say right now, but you can't be naive and think that, oh, it'll never happen to us. You can't think that way because it absolutely could. This is not setting up in a good way for the Wolves right now.
And I also want to see who is going to be in the front office.
That matters.
That's a huge thing, is whoever takes over is going to have some, they're going to have some work to do.
They should not hire Dell Dumps.
Good call. It's a good way to wrap up this conversation. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Big night for LeBron James last night, but still not without Lakers drama. That and other NBA news and notes. You're listening to Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com.
This is the all-new Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. Scorenorth.com.
It was very emotional. Very emotional. A lot of things that was going on inside me at that point in time. I wanted to look up at the scoreboard to kind of see what was going on up there, but at the same time, I didn't want to show what was going on in behind that towel.
Look, this is some of the things. Look where Rondo is sitting. Unless he's coming in the game, there's no excuse for that. And this is, I live in L.A., so I watch Laker game. That can't happen. For whatever reason, that can't happen. And the last game, it was Rondo and JaVale McGee. That cannot happen. That's not a winning culture. Now, he may be doing it for the right reasons. There's no right reasons, in my opinion. That's unacceptable.
That was LeBron James talking about passing Michael Jordan for fourth on the all-time NBA scoring list. And then that was Mark Jackson, who was upset with Rajon Rondo because he was sitting closer to 2 Chainz than he was any of his teammates on the sideline.
Can you play Mark Jackson again?
Oh, it's gold, isn't it?
Look, this is some of the things. Look where Rondo is sitting. Unless he's coming in the game, there's no excuse for that. And this is, I live in L.A., so I watch Laker game. That can't happen. For whatever reason, that can't happen. And the last game, it was Rondo and JaVale McGee. That cannot happen. That's not a winning culture. Now, he may be doing it for the right reasons. There's no right reason in my opinion.
That's the best part. He may be doing it for the right reason. There's no right reasons.
He just had a little argument with himself there.
That's the best part of that. Amazing. Like, he contradicted himself within the same breath. Didn't pause. Like, there wasn't even a comma in that sentence.
That might be for the right reasons.
There's no right reasons. Thank you, Mark Jackson, for that gold.
Well, and the best part about it, too, is Rondo, when they asked him about it after the game, he just said, I don't know what the big deal is. Like, that is so Rajon Rondo.
Is it a big deal?
Yeah. I didn't care. I wasn't watching it at that point. I thought it was funny. Went to bed.
I thought it was funny.
But, I mean, he's on a crappy team.
And it's Rajon Rondo.
Yeah. Like, the seats were there, man. I wonder if those ones are comfier than the ones on the bench.
I don't know. Some of the seats on NBA benches nowadays, like, have you seen the ones in the Bucks new stadium?
Yeah, but
they got massagers and heaters. That's the only arena that's like
that. No, but it's... And it's only their bench. The visiting bench doesn't have
that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I noticed that when I was there a couple weeks ago. It's only the Bucks bench.
That's a home court advantage.
The visiting bench has normal bench chairs.
All right, let's get to the other piece of sound that we heard there coming out of the break, and that was LeBron James talking about how much it meant to him to pass Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list. He moves into fourth now. How much does it mean to you guys that LeBron James has passed Michael Jordan on the fourth all-time list?
It's another accomplishment in a long list of one mm-hmm. of accomplishments for LeBron. I don't view this as, it's a big deal, but I don't view this as like, oh, well, he did that. Now he's the greatest. Like, I had thought that previously, and I don't even know that this really supplements that. Like, it's, yes, he scored a lot of points and it's really cool. What bothered me about it last night was just the lack of anyone there caring. Mm-hmm. Like, had he been in Miami still?
Right.
Like, say he never went back to Cleveland and played the rest of his career in Miami with the Heat. What would the arena have been like last night there?
It'd have been
insane.
What
would American...
Alive. Yeah.
If he didn't go to L.A. this offseason and stayed in Cleveland, what would Quicken Loans Arena have been like last night? There would have been a 10-minute stoppage in the game right. for a standing special. Ovation. Yeah. in L.A., he gets a half hug from Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Alex Caruso.
I really think
Alex Caruso was on the floor when LeBron passed MJ.
KCP, 0 points in 7 minutes last night, by the way.
Yeah, second but he shared the floor when LeBron passed MJ.
Second highest paid player on the Lakers.
Next up on the list, and he'll probably pass him next season, is Kobe Bryant. I really think if he does that in the Staples Center, he might get booed. He might get booed by Lakers fans so bad.
That would be hilarious.
I want him to do that in Staples Center so bad because those people love Kobe and can't accept the fact that LeBron is a better basketball player, and it's not particularly close in my opinion. And he is better than their greatest of all time, who's not in that conversation of greatest of all time in normal people's worlds.
And he still has a shot to catch an outside shot to catch Kareem.
He could. There's a very, very realistic possibility.
And he could do that in the Laker uniform.
They were talking about it this morning on SportsCenter and like projecting out if he played 82 games a season and maintained his current scoring average, he would pass Kareem, I think they said, in the 2022-2023 season.
I think that he could probably... I think he's going to play a little bit longer than that, and I do think that he eventually will pass him. I think it's close, though. Like, if he doesn't, I wouldn't be shocked. I think his floor is probably to pass Karl Malone and finish second. His ceiling is to pass Kareem. Like, it's not... I wouldn't be surprised either way.
This morning on Levitard, they were talking about LeBron and where he stands on the all-time scoring list. And Stu Gatz, sometimes Stu Gatz says stuff to be outrageous and knows that he's being outrageous.
Oh, yeah, that's who Stu Gatz is.
But sometimes he says stuff that's outrageous and he means it, and then sometimes I can't tell which one it is.
And that's why he's got you.
This morning, and I don't know if this is a valid point or not, and I don't know if he was actually trying to make a valid point. He said because of the 2 years that Michael Jordan took off, you know, Stu Gatz has his own personal record book.
I love the personal record
books. So do I. I keep one myself.
Yeah, same. Kevin Durant, no titles. I'm with Stu on that.
And Barry Bonds is not the home run king.
Okay, you're wrong.
But he said in Stu Gatz's record book, Michael Jordan is still the second leading scorer because of the 2 years that he took off. Kobe Bryant is third. LeBron's still fourth.
No, you can. Okay, here's what you can do.
All right.
If you want to add to MJ's points, you can add his hit total for minor league baseball. You can add those to his points total, and that's where he can be.
His batting average.
No, like the number of hits he had, one hit, one point.
That's Danny Cunningham. Find his work on the Wolves at scorenorth.com. Manny Hill, I'm Robbie Maklouf. This has been Raised by Wolves. Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com.